going to go out, and then we'll have our speaker. No, not much movement. Well, I would like to introduce Tim Harvey from Auckland Japanese Christian Church. A year or so ago, Tim and I met together. We were talking about some things to do with ministry, and I was so intrigued by his background, having he's a Westerner, but he grew up in Japan, and I think Japanese is his first language. And so then to come back into New Zealand, and I thought, what a mix, what a life, what a way of growing up and seeing the world through different eyes. And so I'm so pleased that Tim has taken the time to come and share with us today, because I think his upbringing gives him a different perspective on things. And we have some people here who've lived in New Zealand for a long time, and some people who've been in New Zealand just a matter of weeks. And so for all of us to be able to hear from Tim, the way he sees things and thinks about identity, let's give Tim a welcome. And perhaps, Tim, as you come, I'll just pray for you. Lord, we thank you for your servant, Tim, for his love of you and his walk with you. We pray that as he comes and speaks to us now, that you would inspire him and give him the things to share, that you would speak through him. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tim.
Good morning. I like this congregation already. It's a very competitive bunch, aren't you? Really. I also have to start off with saying I've actually lied already since I've been here. It is not the first time I've ever been here. I've got something very in common with actually Stan that I was talking to earlier on. I was married here 15 years ago and also a migrant from overseas as well. So a little bit of a lie to start off with. That's always a good start, isn't it? So, John's asked me to give you a little bit about my sort of background and testimony and I guess what I do. To explain what I do as a work side of things, I'm head of Japan for a large sports management company, and also a shareholder of the company as well. So what it does is we look after a lot of sports players and athletes around the world. We look after a lot of, events around the world, including Rugby World Cup and Olympics. I run the Japan division, which basically means I go to Japan a lot, where I negotiate for a lot of rugby players. So I have about 85 clients up in Japan and from the rugby side of things, and then I go to big corporations to get sponsorship for big events or teams around the world. So to explain, I guess, how big we are as a company side of things, I'm sure most of you know the All Blacks, 12 of the starting All Blacks we represent on their last game that they played. So from my side of things, I do the negotiations when they go overseas and especially into the Japan market. So I guess this industry does take me around the world a lot. That's good and bad. A lot of time away from family is always, it's not that exciting sometimes. Living in a hotel room on your own is not that exciting. It sounds glamorous, but it's not that glamorous either. So that's kind of my day-to-day business side of things. I'm actually off to Japan next week again. Most of you know who Dan Carter is, so I'm taking Dan Carter up to Japan next week for a charity event. I'll say hi. And that's the fun side of the business, where you're doing charity stuff. This event is actually to do with fundraising for earthquake victims of Japan, both 2011 and Kumamoto this year. So we go around Japan and do a whole lot of events, raise money for earthquake victims. So that's the enjoyable side of things. The other enjoyable side of things of my business is obviously giving good advice. When someone's about to move over to another country, my experience of doing that, being there, done that, helps. My church background helps as well. Because you are giving honest advice about how hard it is to move to another country. A lot of the times they just see the nice coins that are going to come into their bank account, But the family side of things is the part where I can add a lot more value as well, I find. And as you can imagine, in this industry, there's a lot of secrets that I know. There's also sometimes when certain players are a little bit naughty, you have to have some direct loving conversations to help them in their way as well. So that's a lot of the side of things that I have to bear burden with, but also it's part of, I guess, my upbringing that can help them as well. And in that sort of, I guess, the stressful side of it is that side where you do have a lot of secrets and you do have to, I guess, keep a lot of things confidential. I've seen a lot of things that shouldn't be happening that has happened, and that is the burden side of things. But at the same time, I think my upbringing and then my faith in God has also helped me get through those stressful times and also relieve those stresses, I guess, that I have in my work career. So explain, I guess, a bit how I was brought up. I was born actually here, but when I was 3 months old, I went to Japan. And then basically lived there for the next 11 years. My parents were actually missionaries up in Japan, so Dad was there for roughly 30 years. And the way he sort of operated, different missionaries act differently, but the way he operated was he'd go to all the small towns of Japan, start up a new church, put the locals in, and then move on to the next town. I was explaining to I've got a 12-year-old son at the moment. He was wanting to listen. What are you actually talking about today, Dad? I said, well, I'm just talking a little bit about my life. And he said, oh, I didn't realise you travelled that much. So every sort of 4 or 5 years, we had to move to a new city and start up again, new church. And when you do that, as a lot of you will know, new friends, new school, you start everything all over again. And by the time my boy's 12, before I was 11, I've already moved to 4 different countries and moved 5 different cities. So that was my 11-year-old upbringing. And as you know, when you live overseas, you don't have your grandparents, you don't have your uncles, your aunties, your cousins. But at the same time, I think my upbringing with the church, the way Dad and Mum raised me, they also taught us that this is the family that we're brought up in. So my brothers and sisters, my cousins, my uncles and aunties, I had lots of them all the time because I was always in a good church environment. So we had, in a way, this is natural for me to get to know you very quickly because this is the way I was brought up. You are my brothers and sisters and my cousins and my uncles, grandmothers and great-grandmothers as well, by the looks of it. And so that's been a good journey for me personally to be able to travel around the world as well. When I was 11 years old, then obviously my parents decided, well, this little white boy can't speak any English, so we should probably take him home. And when I was 11, we finally came back to New Zealand. It was certainly, very, very hard and that side of things. I remember also, actually, before I came back, there was an experience I had in Japan where I was walking down the road just after school. High school kids, Japanese kids, came up to me and started speaking. They obviously learned a bit of English that day and sort of, oh, let's practice on this American guy. In Japan, you're American, you're not a foreigner. Especially where I was brought up, there was a little village. So there's an American guy, let's go and speak English to him. So they start speaking English to me. And in fluent Japanese, they go back and, sorry, don't have a clue what you're saying. And obviously they thought I was taking the mickey out of them and just got absolutely pelted to the ground. So beaten up in Japan, yep, that was one of my last experiences, which was awesome. And then I came back here to New Zealand. It was tough, to be honest, 11 years old. Certainly was no academic, so learning this funny English language was certainly hard. I could say, hello, my name is Tim, and I'm from Japan. That was about it. And when I first got back and in the primary school system here, I found it very weird because they kept on doing hearing tests on me. Every sort of two weeks, they'd take me into a different room and do some testing on my ear. And it only came to the first parents-teachers interview that the teachers realised that I didn't speak a word of English and I didn't understand my name. Because in Japan, my name is also from the Bible. It's Timothy. And in Japan, my name is Temote, or actually Fifi. And the reason why it's Fifi is Japanese can't pronounce Timothy. They go, Timofree. So my nickname was Fifi. So all I know is Fifi or Temote, and then all the teachers are calling me Timothy. And so they thought I was a little bit deaf, or I guess a little bit a little bit strange up top. So, yeah, that's a little bit of the first side of things, I guess, brought up in Japan, coming back here as well. But back then, you know, when we first came back, it was Mum and Dad, my older brother, and my younger sister, who's actually Japanese. She's adopted. We had her from when she was a baby. And that side of things, I still remember even years later talking to Dad about, you know, what sort of experience was that? And I said, well, to be honest, and Dad is a very faith, you know, very faith-oriented person. It takes a lot to travel around the world and do what he does. He said, well, I was 43 years old. I had three beautiful kids that loved me. God has kept me safe. I've got $100 in the bank. And he was loved. He was happy. You know, and he said, the hardest times I've ever gone through is when I did business, made money, the temptations. But when I was 43 years old, taking three of you kids back to this country, I had faith in my heart and I was strong. And that was the happiest time I've ever been. So that's, you know, a little bit of, that's always something that's always kept close to me when I do business as well. Don't let money or temptations take you astray. Make sure you've got love in your heart. That's something that I've always remembered. You know, you must have told me when I was 14 years old, but it still just kept to me in my business side of things as well. And then coming back here, definitely hard. I think it was Ellerslie Primary School, was the first school that I went to. A little bit of a, back then, rough background. I remember my brother being beaten up a lot. He was bullied a lot, especially because in Japan, they give you these bags called randoseru, which is a funny sort of leather bag. And so because we were poor, that's all we wanted to use, is what we already had. And we had these funny bags that we used to carry. We had this funny food, these little rice balls with sausages that looked like octopuses and nice cut-up eggs. And everyone else is having Marmite sandwiches. Those foreigners are weird. And so my brother, I remember one time clearly that you know, my brother had all his lunch tipped on the ground and these two guys were kicking him and throwing his face in his lunch. So that was kind of our first experience. Well, this is really rough sort of side of things. Don't understand the language, don't understand the culture. They like to beat up people a lot back in NZ. They certainly didn't do it with me. I have what you call, I might have to explain this, short man syndrome. And short man syndrome, when the heart, the blood rushes to the head very quickly, and I lash out very quickly as well. So a couple of the bullies learned very quickly not to lash out or bully the little short man. But at the same time, I think through those hard times, it is because we had a loving family that we were able to get through it. And love, it was God-centred, it was love-centred family. So, you know, it was tough, but you got through it. My teenage years, went to Auckland Boys Grammar, loved sports, hated school. Hated studying, but school, kind of the sports side of things, got through me through school. As a church person or as a Christian, I was what you call a Sunday Christian. I can honestly say that now because that's a different person. Which Sunday Christian is a person that nods their head in the church on a Sunday. Monday again, they're back to what they do and forget about what we just learned yesterday. And my most favourite part of it was the prayer at the end where I could just get a bit of shut eye. That's pretty much my whole teenage year. But I had good friends, so I sort of kept on ticking along, going to church. But I had no purpose really. When I wasn't really focused on what God was telling me to do, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Did I want to go to university? Did I want to go overseas? I didn't study enough, so I couldn't get into any good universities anyway. So my father said, well, why don't you ship back to Japan because you seem to be not enjoying things here, which is true because to me I was going through a bit of an identity crisis. You know, am I Japanese? Am I Kiwi? What am I going to do? No goals in life at all. So went back to Japan, worked on ski slopes, worked at a 7-Eleven convenience store, and ended up working for a Mitsubishi Heavy Industry, which had a rugby team. And I worked as a rugby translator and ended up playing for them as well. But when you get into the rugby industry, it's another, you know, it's a different area. So I'm 18 years old, I'm in Japan, I'm in a rugby team, I've got 40 good mates around me, they're all 5 to 10 years older than me, they've got money. And in Japanese culture, it's when you're a foreigner and when you're young, it's for them to pay for everything. So in the rugby industry, you can imagine what we did a lot is we partied a lot. So after a Saturday game, we would go out, have a big night out, and reasonably hungover on Sunday. So I'd have to be honest and say that 12 months that I was in Japan as an 18 to 19-year-old, the Sundays were pretty dull, mostly because I was hungover, or it was a small town and the churches were, to be honest, quite ageing and boring, is what the way I went. So I could honestly probably count in one hand how many times I went to church for that next 12 months. So from my sort of things, culturally and from a language point of view, I was at home. You know, from that side of things, I was relaxed, I was feeling good, but also I was treated like royalty because I'm a foreigner who speaks fluent Japanese, play good rugby, so you get treated a lot of drinks, and I felt, you know, my chest is out, my head's getting swollen, it's getting quite big. But from being close to God point of view, it was probably the furthest way I've ever been in my life. I was definitely far away from it. And I used to like to party, so, you know, if someone invited me, was no second thought about it, just, yep, I'll go with it. And that's the way I kind of lived for the next, to be honest, 12 months. And as much as I was gutted at the time, my visa wasn't renewed, so I couldn't stay on, had to come back to New Zealand. To be honest, lots of money in the bank, and, you know, didn't really want to be back in NZ. It's not really where I wanted to be. My first language is Japanese. I wanted to speak Japanese, and it had no direction really where I wanted to go. So pretty much carried on the way I went from the first sort of 6 to 12 months as a 19/20-year-old, where I just kept on playing rugby, partied. My goals were be a better rugby player, get to a certain level. Obviously, I'm a little midget, so I'm not going to get too far. But then to be able to go back to Japan, earn lots of money, be a star again. That was my self-centred goal. So I did train a lot, and I trained really hard. But at the same time, I was very far away from God at the time. Still, nevertheless, I did slowly go back to church. Still went back to regular church stuff. And luckily, the rugby side of things at that time, because of the training, I didn't really... I stood away from the drink a little bit more. But I still had an identity crisis going on there, where I was going, am I Kiwi? Am I Japanese? And to be honest, at 20, I ended up having a career injury, neck injury, where I couldn't play anymore. So then my goal was to be a professional rugby player. That was taken away from me as well. I finally had a goal, and that was gone. Very self-centred goal, because being a professional person, not a problem at all. But if it's purely just so that I can say that now, because my goals were to go back to Japan, be a star, be big-headed, make money. That's happiness in life. That's the way I thought at the time. But I think something started to click as I slowly went to church again. And, you know, there is a certain reason why I did start going to church. There's a nice little pretty lady that I started liking. Luckily enough, she was going to Bible school at the time, and she was a lot more mature than I was in faith-wise, and she... You know, it made me want to go to church a little bit more. Maybe I should listen a little bit more, and maybe she's got a bit better opinion about myself than I have as well. So that was certainly a blessing at the time. Obviously, she's now my wife with a 12 and 10-year-old and one on the way. But then what started clicking as I started coming back to church is it actually doesn't matter if I'm Japanese. It doesn't matter if I'm Kiwi or my self-centred goal was crushed. Actually, that part doesn't matter. It was the fact that I realised that I was in part of Christ's family. So it's not the Japanese, the Christian, or the Chinese, or Malaysian part, it's the Christian part. My identity is the fact that I am part of God's family. And once I realised that, then all of a sudden, boom, it clicked. I started seeing things a lot more clearly. I could make better decisions. I started taking the things that are bad in my life out of my life. So those natural things that, you know, you probably should take for common sense, I couldn't see before because I was clouded in my own ego / self-centeredness. All of a sudden, God had taken all that away from me. I was able to focus back on God again, and I was back in his arms. So I guess for me, if you're skeptical about those people that talk about God and stuff, give it a go, because I've certainly been there, gone away from it, come back, and realised that every time... Those mornings that I was hungover thinking that was a good night last night, I was very, very deep, very shallow inside and also very lost inside. Whereas now I'm with God, I'm very full and very happy and very loved. So give it a go. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. For those Sunday Christians as well, I tell you, you know, really pray to God every day. Talk to Him. Every time I go through some stressful times or have to overcome things or make a big decision, I always pray, always wait for an answer. Sometimes it's not the answer I want personally, but if it's God's answer, it's the right answer. So pray to God more. And also, I guess, trust what He says. And when you're in God's arms, you know, you're not only is He guiding you, He's protecting you. You know, He's giving you love. He's waiting here, you know, wanting you to come and give Him a hug and be protected. So I can say now that when I was 19 to 20, I didn't have that. Now I'm loved, I'm protected, you know, I see more clearly, I'm able to do things better and protect myself from the temptations. And honestly, with the travels that I do and the temptations out there, I need that, because it is a tempting world out there. And luckily I have God in me now that is protecting me and guiding me through the right way, and the right people around me as well, which I'm very thankful for. So that's pretty much my life. If you've got any questions afterwards, it'd be great to, you know, share with anything. It can be hard out there, but just trust in God and have Him in your heart, really. I'd like to pray and finish off. Heavenly Father, we give thank You today to the way You have protected us, the words that You give us through the Bible, the friends and family that You give us through church. Thank You, Lord. Lord, through every day we come through a lot of temptations. Lord, help us through those. Lord, take away the things that we don't need in our life. Help us focus on You, Lord, a lot better. Help us focus on the family around us a lot better, Lord, with the love that You have shown us. From here on, Lord, everyone will go back to their schools, their daily lives, their work. God, help them to realize that You are protecting us, You love us, and You will be able to guide us in the right way. Thank You, Lord, for getting me through my times, and Lord, I'm going to need more times where I need Your guidance as well. In Father's name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Tim. Really appreciate that. Let's show our appreciation to Tim.